Hello, hello, and welcome into the Seminole Wrap podcast here on the brand new Tomahawk Nation podcast channel. I'm your host, Brian Pellerin, along with Max Scarpio and John Marchant this week. We got some pretty cool Knowles in the Pros talk on the podcast episode for you this week. NFL draft, some NBA talk a little bit. Not too much, don't worry. It's mostly NFL draft focused. But it's a couple former FSU guys kind of pulling headlines and grabbing honors where they can. So lots to get through, but we do want to start with what I mentioned at the very top, that new Tomahawk Nation podcast channel. It's right here, wherever you found this episode, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, website, wherever you get your podcasts. If you hear my voice, you're in the right place for all the FSU content you can handle. It's this new way we're trying to roll our creative efforts all into one to get you the best content we can. That means if you subscribe or follow this channel, which if you're not, do it now. You'll get this show plus our Knowles News Now, which is basically just an audio version of the Knowles News article we put out every week. This one will drop, I think, three times we're doing. Our basketball dedicated podcast, the Florida State of Recruiting Three Stars podcast, the only FSU recruiting specific podcast out there. That's a plug if you didn't know that. The Triple Option, we got the film breakdown, Sirius X and O's from those guys. Knowles Quality Analytics, looking at advanced insight on the football team. And of course, us, the Seminole Wrap, where we, I guess maybe a little more meandering than everyone else. So kind of wide-ranging show covering whatever's top of mind for FSU athletics. And, you know, we'll likely do a lot of football talk. But I know Max, big hoops guy. I've got the jerseys hanging on the wall behind him. One day I'll let him go through all of why he has each one up there, but maybe not today. I'm a college baseball guy in general. So a postseason a few weeks out, we'll talk softball as well. I mean, soccer might find its way in, the athletic department, alums, NIL, whatever might interest you. We'll try to talk about it, and hopefully every week we're sitting here with something, or every other week, that really brings it for you. And if you've ever got suggestions for topics, let us know. And, you know, we're all on Twitter. You can find me at Brian_Pellerin. Max is at Max Escarpio. No spaces or underscores there. And John's the different one, at Pupper State. At Pupper State, like a dog, Pupper State. Or just find the article on the site, whatever. You can hit us in the comments. Long way to go. Basically all to say, please subscribe, rate, review. 5 stars only. Be my friend. Thank you. But let's get to it, right? Okay. How was that? Fun? I know. Wasn't it wonderful?
It's good.
Thank you.
I had fun.
I subscribed automatically. I even got my grandma hooked in, I think.
How could you not?
How could you not? Right. So, you know, let's get to it. NFL draft stuff just wrapped up on Saturday. We're recording this here on Sunday night. I guess I'd call it maybe the big surprise for Florida State Nation. Only one guy drafted, Jermaine Johnson. He goes 26th overall, the rest of them all having to sign as undrafted free agents. I'll rattle those guys off in a little bit. But we'll start with Jermaine. And John, I'll go to you first since you piped in here. Jermaine kind of, I guess, call it sliding a little bit from early mocks, or I don't want to call them, I guess, late mocks, right before the draft actually happened towards the end of the first round. But maybe it feels like he got a good fit in New York anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I know some people in Knoll Nation are going to be upset, you know, that he slid. Six or seven defensive ends went in front of him. You know, there was a lot of talk that he might go toward the end of the top 10, you know, 9, 10, 12, something like that. He ended up sliding all the way 26. And then plus on top of that, he goes to the Jets, who have been just, I mean, if we're going to be honest.
All-time franchise.
Yeah, horrific for the last 20, 30 years since I've been alive. I mean, their most notable thing in the last 20 years has been the butt fumble. With Mark Sanchez and all that kind of stuff. So, but, you know, the rumor that we had heard was something about he didn't do well in interviews, or he was about his brand, yada, yada, yada. I think a lot of times NFL teams look for something to criticize a player for, or reason to drop them. Sometimes those reasons are absurd and ridiculous because that's how the NFL is. You have to remember it's run by a good old boys club who are often traditionally, if I can say this, white. And sometimes if you're not 100% football all the time, I'm a robot, ha ha ha, they'll drop you down for whatever. So I think that the fact that he's you know, maybe it's the point that he went to New York because they didn't care, because New York is all about the giant media presence and promoting your brand and all the other stuff. So, you know, could it have been a good fit? He's an excellent run defender. I think that he is at least a solid pass rusher coming in for the NFL level. I don't think he'll get you 10 sacks a you know, a year right away, but he could develop into that type of player where you're getting double digit sacks most of the time, or at least more than half. But he comes in as an NFL ready run defender. I think he was maybe a little bit underdrafted, maybe about 10 or 12 spots, I think, give or take. He's probably about where he should have been, in my opinion. But, you know, if you want to say he should have gone 20th, I think that's fair. Overall, though, I think Florida State and Norvell had a big, big win getting him from Georgia, bringing him in. A lot of the culture change that came with him was priceless. You can't really put any kind of value on that. So I'm really happy for the kid. I think it's great for Florida State. We'll get into it, but I think, you know, Florida State not having another pick besides him was kind of a little rough thing and unfortunate, but overall very, very happy for Jermaine Johnson. I think and expect he will do big things, and I can't wait to watch him at the next level.
Yeah, I think he did pretty good too. I love the draft pick. I love that they got in there and got their guy. They also got Garrett Wilson, Sauce Gardner. So, I mean, if you go to New York right now, and I talked about it with my guys the other day, that if you go to New York right now, would you rather be drafted by the Jets or the Giants? And the Jets are on an upward spiral right now. So let's see what they're going to do. We'll see what, if all this that they're picking up is going to be good for them. But a couple other things that we saw were right on paper, where this is one of the deepest defensive end drafts we've seen in a while now. Plus, Jermaine Johnson is a transfer. He's a JUCO prospect who's had to jump around the train. So he might have been, we're at FSU, he's seen as a fit, and he was seen as, they had him as a player who had him at the position, and he only succeeded there. So, I mean, I guess you can look at that. Another thing you can look at is his age. He's 23 years old. A lot of the other prospects were 21 and change or 22. So you can look at him being 23 right there and saying he's a little older than the other prospects, and you don't want to take him there.
Yeah, and I think that kind of what you mentioned on the transfer thing, I mean, these NFL teams say they do all the research in the world. I mean, I don't really know. But, you know, it could be as simple as, like you said, he gets to Florida State and he's this older guy, more mature at 23. But they asked his JUCO coach, or, you know, his initial coach, and they were like, what happened? And he was like, oh, you know, he was a jerk and didn't care at all. And maybe that's just enough of a red flag to somebody that, you know, you end up taking the younger guy instead. I think that's a good point, Max. And you mentioned them kind of being on the upswing with Zach Wilson and Garrett Wilson. They've got Wilson to Wilson combo there. That was a receiver from Ohio State. Obviously, Zach Wilson, the quarterback from BYU last year. And Sauce Gardner is a nice piece in the back end, but we're not a Jets podcast. So, but yeah, I mean, that's a good team to go to in reality. I mean, and everything I've seen from the Jets, I guess, media, our SB Nation, call them sister stations, sister sites, whatever, our comrades up there, they really like the fit in a Salah style defense. I mean, we saw it work really well in San Francisco, and it seems like that's somewhere where he can succeed.
If you look at the other teams, you look at the Texans, you look at the Giants, Jaguars, I mean, that's a team that in the Jets that he can fit right there, and he can have playing time in maybe a year or two. He can be a nice position and a player there. So we'll see what it does for him. And I think he'll be in a good position to play a lot. I don't know if it's next season or maybe the season after that.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think it's definitely a spot. And the video, I don't know if you haven't seen it, I'll hyperlink it or whatever I got to do to put it in the article for this one. But the video of I don't know if it was the assistant GM or maybe the D-line coach or whatever, but when he finished his interview with the Jets, he told them, come get me, you know, and you know, they said, yeah, we did. We came and got you. So they're excited to have him. And it seems like JJ is excited to be heading up to New York City. So that's great all around for him. Obviously a little bit later than you can hope, but hey, it's a first round draft pick. And then, you know, a lot of schools don't get that. There's only 32 of them. As we mentioned though, the only guy that did get drafted. So I want to play a little game of who do you like? Overall so far, I think we've got 6 undrafted free agents from Florida State signed. I'll put them all out there and we'll each kind of say which one we think maybe might be someone to keep an eye on, who might stick in camp or maybe you just like to fit with the team, whatever it might be. So overall, it's running back Jayshon Corbin heading to the Giants, wide receiver Andrew Parchment going to the Panthers, Keir Thomas, JJ's counterpart there on the D-line going to the Rams, versatile O-lineman Devontae Love Taylor heading to the Bucks here in Tampa, Tight end Jordan Wilson going to the Bengals and linebacker Emmett Rice going to the Giants. I started with John. So we'll go to Max. Max, do you feel comfortable going first here? You want to kick it over to John?
Yeah, I mean, Keir Thomas, he's going to learn from one of the all-time greats in Aaron Donald, so he's in a good position there. Jayshon Corbin, I mean, I think he has really good – he's fluid. He knows how to stop. He has patience with the ball. So him behind Barkley, I think he'll learn there, although he needs to gain some weight, I guess. And Devontae Love Taylor, who's played a couple positions in college, and if his coaches in Tampa Bay can coach him up and have him at one position, looks like he'll be able to have a good maybe just short career there or whatever it is.
At worst, he'll get yelled at by Brady enough, you know. I know, John, that's your team, right? You're a Bucs guy.
Yeah, through and through, man. Hopefully Love Taylor can kind of be that swing guy. I know Bruce Arians and Harold Goodwin are always looking for that type of versatility, especially out of backups. You know, you have to be able to play guard tackle in the NFL as a backup in order to stick to a spot. But the guy I think has the best chance would be Jayshon Corbin with the Giants. You know, Barkley's had a lot of injury issues. Running back is one of those positions where it's a lot easier to get on the field. Because the position itself now has become more like by committee. It's been more of a rotational. You know, some of these teams like the Giants will draft a guy in the first. But really, you see the position over the last 10 years has kind of changed where you always have a group of guys and they're more or less interchangeable. Obviously those first round guys give you additional value, but overall, you know, it's easier to see the field. It's the most injured position in the NFL. So he'll get opportunities. I think that he may be able to show some stuff. Looking at the big picture here, I just want to point out, you know, Jermaine Johnson, as mentioned, was a transfer. So if we're being honest, excluding the transfer portal, Florida State would have had nobody drafted this year, right? You go back to Tamorin Terry and Marvin Wilson, and that draft was kind of the last of the Jimbo Fisher guys. The point I want to make, though, is that this roster did not have any talent when Norvell came in. And we've seen that going back to these drafts where the only guys that are being drafted are transfers that Norvell has brought in. The only one signing any kind of professional deals, whether it's free agent deals as an unrestricted free agent or being drafted, are all Norvell transfers pretty much. Right. So the point I want to make is this Florida State team did not have any talent when Norvell took over. And I think a lot of people have forgotten that. Willie did some good things. He improved the offensive line, but he took over a team who the biggest issue was the offensive line. And then he cratered the rest of the roster. And there was a lack of development from the Jimbo Fisher guys. A lot of them left early for the NFL. And then after that, there's just nothing. Willie didn't bring anyone else after that. So you're looking at this kind of dearth, this empty cupboard of talent. And it's showing in the draft, you know. I know some of the, you know, Miami didn't have a whole lot of guys drafted or anyone. I can't remember. But it's an issue that I wish people would pay attention to. Seeing that Norvell has started, he inherited nothing. And he's trying
John,
to
you
work
don't have
his way back
do
to something.
No, Scotty Barnes is amazing. Leonard Hamilton is
not,
the GOAT.
There's one thing with the transfer.
The
it's not as great as
and let's go
getting a guy in, developing him for four or five years, and then sending him onto the NFL. So he's doing the best he can with what he's got. Obviously, he's made his own mistakes. But I think it's important to understand exactly what the situation that Norvell walked into and what he's dealing with and the kind of development that we are seeing underneath him. But it takes time to see the players that he brought in start to kind of blossom into guys that might get drafted. So I just think that's worth noting.
Yeah, I just looked it up, and I feel like, Max, maybe you did too. The one Miami guy, do you know who it is? Anybody, Max? Did you Google it? No. John, you want to wager a guess? Any ideas? Anybody stands out? It's not the quarterback. He's still there.
I honestly have no idea. Linebacker, maybe?
Defensive tackle Jonathan Ford going 234 overall of the Packers. So
there you go.
Yeah, rough talent pool somehow for all the Florida schools.
Yeah. Hey, it's not like it was, you know, a lot of Clemson, Alabama, LSU, Ohio State, they're all going to Florida and picking who they want. So that's a problem. Yeah. It's got to be addressed. But
and if I can give a couple of stats here, since 1976, Florida State has had four separate drafts with only one draft pick, and two of them have been 2020 and 2022.
Well, there you go.
So it's not looking good right now. And also the ACC had the least amount of drafted players in the Power Five with 21.
Did Georgia have more than that by themselves? Felt like
Georgia,
it.
Like 15 at least. Well, and here's the other thing that pisses me off. Can I say this?
Is it pisses you off. At least, go for it.
I don't know, remember what round it was. Sixth round, I think we're in. And I saw I didn't watch the entire draft. I used to, but you know. I think it was about the sixth round. They threw up a graphic on ESPN saying Georgia had 15 players drafted and the Bucks took the punter. Are you kidding me? Come on. Come on.
You wanted anybody else. That's how my friends and I all reacted when I'm a New Orleans guy. So when the Saints took a safety out of Tennessee, his name escapes me, but with N'Kobe Dean sitting there, we were like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
He's the soul of that Georgia defense. We're picking the Tennessee, but it's fine. I mean, whatever.
N'Kobe's range is ridiculous. Fun stuff.
The panic button there. I guess they were saying he was supposed to have a shoulder surgery and didn't get it.
And I guess his shoulder's messed up, but he's also sub 6 foot. So I guess his range, well, not his range, but his, you know, how he might impact passing lanes was probably not what a lot of teams were looking for. But his range is like extraterrestrial. So I mean, he's a fun player. Who knows though? You know, the draft is a lottery. I just, why would you take a punter?
And you didn't even take punt god. What is it? Matt Ariza? Is that it? Ariza?
Yeah, Ariza, whatever his name is. You take someone else. I thought Kamada was a good punter for Georgia. You don't draft punters and kickers. You just don't. There's too much variance between year to year. That's just, you don't need to. And the other thing too is the draft is only four rounds long. You can take, who cares? You can throw away a fifth, sixth, or seventh round pick on a specialist like a punter or kicker, even though I think you don't even need to draft them in the first place. But if you're going to, the draft is only four rounds long. You take them in one of those other rounds, but you take them in the fourth. I don't understand. It's something that Light has always done since he was the GM of the Bucks, obviously with Matt, Roberto Aguayo, and bring up horrible memories there. I'm just, I guess I'm going through it. That's all I can say.
You need a minute? It's okay.
I need several.
I actually just tried to look up to see how many guys actually were from Florida that ended up getting drafted early. I should have done that research beforehand, but I did. So that's on me.
How many?
I don't know. I'm trying to see like guys from the state of Florida.
Oh.
Who ended up getting drafted in the first round or you know, because we just talked about how none of them were from, you know, FSU or Miami. Here's one. Evan Neal from Alabama, offensive tackle. We thought would probably go first overall.
A lot of guys from Florida that Florida State could have gotten but didn't. So
yeah, right? It's one of those things. You don't recruit, then you don't get to see a guy get drafted.
Wasn't another one Charles Cross, who I'm pretty sure had decommitted or flipped or something like that.
Yeah, Mississippi State.
Yep. You're right.
Yeah, that's it. You don't pull guys in, you don't get to celebrate draft weekend, and you end up like John sitting around upset. Cross was originally from Mississippi, but yeah, point still stands.
So anyway, like I said, to go back to the point, I think it's worth noting that when Norvell took over, the cupboard was bare. The results of the draft show that, they reflect that. Ever since, again, though, those late Jimbo draft classes kind of left early. A lot of them did. They left early. After that, there really wasn't much there. And Willie Taggart's recruiting was pretty horrific. Norvell takes over. You have two transition classes and no other NFL talent. And you see kind of what we're seeing. So, you know, he's had to recruit out of the portal to try to make up the difference. And again, you know, Devontae Love Taylor, Jayshon Corbin, Jermaine Johnson, all that kind of stuff. I guess my point is, too, it's kind of unfortunate. It makes me wonder if I'm going to push this conversation ahead a little bit, whether or not, you know, we're going to be talking about the guy after Norvell, you know, the guy to follow him, because it feels like Norvell didn't really quite get the chance that maybe he kind of deserved, although he's made his own mistakes. I don't know. I guess I'm concerned.
Well, let me toss this one at you, John, because, and it was something you wanted to bring up last week, which I ended up being out of town, so we didn't get it together. I went to the Pelicans game, if anyone's curious. That's what I ended up doing, to go and get drunk instead of doing this, so I apologize. We'll get back to my undrafted free agent list in a bit, but and we talked about it the week before with Mims, and when they didn't end up landing Mims as a transfer, you were concerned, does the narrative become Norvell can't land the big one? And I think it's maybe a little unfair for this one, but you can see the path to where that conversation exists.
Right. Like, I feel like the sample small is too, it's not big enough to say, oh yes, this is definitely a problem. At the same time, you can say, I mean, yeah, it kind of is a problem. You have Mims happen right on the heels of Travis Hunter. And again, he walked into a situation where there isn't any talent. He had to hit the portal. And I've said before on this pod many, many times that I feel like the transfer portal is very similar to the NFL's free agency, where it is almost like a lottery, just like the NFL draft. So, you know, some kids are going to work out, some kids just aren't. And that's the situation that Norvell has had to deal with, where, you know, hey, I'm not going to get 4 years to just draft, you know, recruit my own kids and develop them and all the other stuff. I have to go to the portal and try to, you know, basically process out all these kids that Norvell brought in that are their sophomores and juniors and freshmen who really can't play at this level or the level that Florida State wants to play at. And you have to, you know, get all these kids out of the portal, but you're only going to get 1 to 2 years out of them. So, and then they're leaving, and then what's left after that are behind that. So it's just a tough situation. I just want people to understand, you know, keep in mind exactly what the issue here is. We could end up talking 2 or 3 years from now, or even after the end of next season, about the guy after Norvell to follow Norvell. But we can also understand and acknowledge that, you know, maybe it was just a really bad hand that he got dealt, and it was just kind of an impossible situation, I think.
And I know we're down a rabbit hole here for a second on the draft talk, but I do think you brought up an interesting one. And Max, I'm just curious, from being around kind of the Mims situation, I think this one maybe I think it's a little different than just your average kind of transfer guy. I you know, just kind of reading it, I don't think losing a guy back to where he already was that is an elite Power 5 program is really the same as like if he had gone to Miami.
I mean, losing Mims, in my opinion, wasn't, because I think that a lot of the things had to do with off the field issues. So I'm not going to blame that one on Norvell, and I don't have that against Norvell right now. So like we said before, we need to see more from him, and we need to see if something else does happen. But losing Mims right now, I'm not going to blame that against Norvell, to be honest.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I just, it's like you said, it's just something where it's like, I don't think it fits. Go ahead.
Yeah, that was just a misfortune that you just couldn't handle. And I'm pretty sure they did everything possible. They were there for 3 days. They had Alex Atkins, they had Norvo, they had Haggins, had Corey Fuller with him all the time. He had lunch, he had dinner with Jordan Travis. Like, they just threw all the tools at him, and it's just something that they couldn't deal with at the end.
Yeah, and I think that's the point, right? It's hard to put this type of thing at their feet and be like, well, you got to do more. I mean, they really did everything they could, and as you mentioned, some off-field things ended up getting in the way, and, you know, kid goes back to where he was. And at the end of the day, does it hurt to not have that type of talent on the team? Sure, but I don't think when you look at it, you can pin it specifically and be like, look, we're having a real problem here. So, but it was just one of those interesting topics that we had talked about first privately, and I saw the window. So maybe not to excuse, but explain what really happened, I guess, on the way things kind of unfolded.
Yeah, I mean, just like you said too, we lost him to Georgia. We've lost players to Bama and Georgia. Right now we lost Marvin Jones Jr., who was supposed to be an FSU product, to Georgia. So we're going against the big dogs right now that we're climbing up to try to go against them. So, I mean, if we lose players to, I'm not going to talk about the Travis Hunter, but
Jackson State. Oh,
yeah. If we lose players to these smaller schools, then yeah, we can start to get worried aside from Travis Hunter. But right now, I don't think there's too much to worry about in Norvo, because I think they're throwing out all they can do right now.
Yeah. And it does seem like they're very clearly maximizing the talent they have. I mean, one guy drafted, as we've talked about, shows that they're really, especially in those upperclassmen levels, they're just, there's just not the the talent you really need to compete. I will go with John and say that I think Corbin is a guy who stands out. And obviously Keir Thomas. I mean, you don't really, we know Keir Thomas is good, and you don't really have to be that good to look good next to Aaron Donald. I mean, it's just, it's a great situation for him to land.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, if he takes up double teams and still gets through them, and they got to pull a running back to help chip, all you got to do is beat your one guy once a game, and then you look like, you know, you beat him once a game 10 times, and then you got 10 sacks. You're like, well, how the hell did that happen?
Yeah, and if I can say, we still have three more players who may get signed, and may get signed to a minicamp deal or an NFL roster or whatever it is, which is Mecole Dotson, Dekalin Brooks, and Mackenzie Milton. So we'll see what happens with them too. One player I'd like to say from there is Mecole Dotson, who I believe is the best out of those three and can do some damage, maybe in a mini camp. So we'll see what he does.
Yet again, we're taping this 7:30 on Sunday night. You guys are probably listening to it on Monday. So that news might already be out. If, you know, go ahead and check our undrafted free agent tracker, TomahawkNation.com. It will be on there if it's already happened. And if it's not, it probably hasn't, but we'll keep it updated for you, so that way you know what's coming down the pipe. I do want to take the quick step aside to from the football pros over to the basketball pros and give a hats off to Scottie Barnes, who nabbed the NBA's Rookie of the Year award. Really strong season from him. Became a huge part of the Raptors rotation up there in Toronto. 15 points a game, and really found a way to contribute kind of all over the board. Max, I know the basketball is kind of your thing, so I'll flip it to you, man.
I mean, just an all-around player, averaged 15 and a half points, seven and change rebounds, and a couple assists. After the All-Star game, All-Star break, he stepped his foot on the gas, put it in. And I mean, he was going against Cade Cunningham, who I think was overrated this season. He had a couple up and down games, and he wasn't playing for a playoff team. Also going against Evan Mobley, really tight race there. But he's an all-around player that can guard every position, and he was a really nice competitor on a playoff team right now. So I think hats off to him, and congratulations to Scotty.
Yeah. And he, you know, if you're an NBA guy, like myself, I mean, I was watching the Raptors series, and when he wasn't out there for games two and three, it really showed. I mean, the ability to just cover across the floor. I mean, they just missed him. It was abundantly clear, and he made a difference in four and five. Obviously they got knocked out by the Sixers in six, but it just shows you lose a guy who's that important to their rotation, who can do so many things. You know, hats off to Scotty, a great season, and hopefully there's a lot more to come as he grows in the NBA. Before we say goodbye, though, I do want to take a quick second. I'm going to force Max to do this awkwardly in the last couple minutes we've got. Max, turn around and go through your jerseys on the wall. Take me through at least the four on the left. Why are they there? Where'd you get them? Quick thing. You got a couple minutes. Take it.
There's no reason for them being there. It's just, they're the coolest ones that I have. So,
okay. So you don't look at yourself as a point guard, because I'm looking at John Wall Wizards. I've got Michael Jordan, which I assume that's a Toon Squad jersey. I've got Vince Carter for the Raptors. Kyrie's two in the Cavaliers. It's a red. It's the, are they burgundy? It's the red one. You got a Steph. We got a T-Mac. Is that a Raptors T-Mac? It sure is. And then we got D Wade, and it looks like maybe one slipped off the wall over here.
Yeah, Steve Nash slipped off.
So. Steve Nash. Okay, so if you're curious, Max absolutely looks at himself as point guard. We got to get him a Chris Paul one up there.
I mean, I have one too, so I'll put it up.
There it is. We'll rotate the Chris Paul one in there. Yeah. So Max will be our official basketball guy. I know he's a big hooper. You hoop all the time?
I used to play basketball in high school, and then I got injured. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, he is our point guard. So if we ever run 3-on-3s out of the rec, Max is running point for us. So appreciate you guys listening. Once again, like I said, stay tuned across the whole Tomahawk Nation channel here that we're bringing to you. There's a whole lot of stuff. We don't expect you to listen to all of it. Pick and choose what you want. Find your spots and listen to it. I'd recommend taking a listen to the Knowles News Now, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And I'm not just saying that because I'm about to tape that audio for you for tomorrow morning, or today, I guess you're probably listening to it. But I appreciate you guys listening. Stay tuned. Find what you like, find what you don't like. Give us reviews. Let us know what you want to hear about, what you're interested in, and we'll try and bring it to you. So for Brian, John, and Max, that's a wrap. John, you don't have anything basketball, do you?
No, Scottie Barnes is amazing. Leonard Hamilton is the GOAT. He belongs in the Hall of Fame, and let's go Knowles.
Perfect. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'll just tell Perry to cut that right there.